Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. That is a pretty good prayer for a baptism day, don't you think? It's a good prayer for the start of a journey, and that is where Kate is this morning. Here at the Font, she is about to begin a lifelong journey of faith, of learning who God is and what God is like, of discerning God at work in herself and in the world around her, of discovering the way of life that God calls her to and the sort of community that God intends. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. It's a good prayer for a baptism day, and it's not bad for the start of Lent either, because we are all just getting started on the journey of this season, this time of prayer and fasting and reflection that finally points us to the cross. In the early church, Lent was the season of catechesis, of learning and preparation for those who were new to the faith. So for centuries, it's been a time for Christians young and old to pause and reorient their lives around the call to follow Jesus. We are embarking on that journey as well, and the Psalms will be a sort of guide for us through the season. Right there in the middle of the Bible is this book of prayers that God's people have been praying for thousands of years. The Psalms range from gentle and humble, like the one we have in front of us this morning, to joyous and grateful, to reflective, to hurting, to desperate, to furious. They are one of our tradition's great resources for prayer, offering us ways of speaking to and approaching God that we might never have come up with on our own, and inviting us to bring everything we are with honesty and truthfulness before God. Throughout this season, we will pay particular attention to the Psalms and explore opportunities to use them in our personal prayer lives as well as in our communal one. Psalm 25 opens the way for us today. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. There is actually a third journey beginning today as well, and that is Jesus's own. We hear the story of Jesus's baptism today, marking the start of his ministry. It's a brief story in Mark's telling, just kind of sails right by. And at the center is that voice from heaven speaking joyful and gracious words. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. I like the way Eugene Peterson translates that line. You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life. God spoke to each of us with that deep and abiding care in our baptisms, and God speaks that way to Kate today, naming her, claiming her, marking her with love that will hold her through her whole life, wherever her path may take her, no matter what. Might be nice to just kind of end there. Actually, we do often end the story of Jesus' baptism right there, with the loving voice and the descending dove. But this is the first Sunday in Lent, and lucky you, Kate, we have the Lenten version of this reading today. Today we read beyond the baptism to what came next, and the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. Take just a moment to let that sink in. One moment, Jesus is coming up out of the water, surrounded by holy light and a voice telling him he is the pride of God's life. And the next, he is pushed out into the wilderness. One moment, everything is clear and bright. And the next, he is surrounded by wild beasts far from home. And this isn't by chance. It's by design. It is all the work of that pesky Spirit. Mark says it all very plainly. The Spirit descended in the form of a dove, which seems kind of deceptively gentle to me in this case. And then it drove him out. The Greek word there is the same one used when Jesus casts a demon out of someone. It is a powerful word, aggressive even. The Spirit didn't just kind of politely nudge Jesus out into the wilderness. It drove him there. It is a wild story that we have in front of us today. maybe enough to give one second thoughts about coming to the font and praying for the gift of that Spirit. So what's going on here? And what does it have to do with the path that God puts before us? Maybe the first thing to notice is that Jesus is baptized into the great story of his people, going back generation upon generation. The place where Jesus is baptized, the Jordan River, is not just any old stream. As the historic boundary of the Promised Land, marking the place where God's people had longed to enter after being freed from Pharaoh's Egypt, this was a place rich and resonant with history. Samuel Torvund writes that the waters of the Jordan were filled with the memory of slavery and liberation, suffering and surprising release, food and drink in the desert, an eternal covenant, and the promise of a land flowing with God's own milk and honey. Jesus is immersed in that history, in that memory, and then thrown into the wilderness, which is also part of that same story, of course. We too join a great story in our baptisms. We join the story of God calling people from all walks of life and enlisting them in the work of healing and blessing the world. The water at this font right here is filled with the memory of Jesus and his first followers, James and John, Lydia and Priscilla. It's also filled with the memory of saints beyond them, women and men from all times and places who've been joined to Christ and called to follow. The memory of those who have guided and inspired us in faith is there too. They are all part of the story that we join in baptism. So that's one thing to notice. In being baptized in the Jordan and venturing into the wilderness, Jesus is being immersed in his people's story. Here's another. When the Spirit drives Jesus out, it seems to be moving him into a period of formation for what is next in his calling. We don't hear much at all about this time in Mark's gospel. Those 40 days go by in two verses. But when he emerges, he is ready to go. And his mission is clear, proclaiming the nearness of God's reign. It's worth keeping that in mind as we journey from the font throughout our lives. We too can find ourselves in the wilderness at times, in seasons where our usual supports are missing and the way forward is not clear. Sometimes it's our own fault, the result of mistakes that we've made. Sometimes it may be injustice or wrongdoing on the part of others that leaves us in an inhospitable or difficult place. And sometimes it may be the work of the Spirit, bringing us to an in-between place to prepare us for what's next in our lives and our calling. The wilderness is not an easy place, but sometimes it is a necessary one, a place of preparation and formation for what God has in store. Here's one more thing to notice in the story of Jesus' baptism. He is baptized into solidarity with others. The people out there at the riverbank, gathered around John, were folks all longing for a new future. These were not people just happy with the way things were. They were looking for a future of justice and dignity for all of God's people. Jesus wasn't baptized off by himself, but in the midst of that crowd that knew wilderness times themselves, in the midst of their hoping and their striving and their struggling for a better world. We sometimes imagine that our journey of faith is an entirely inner one, that it's something private and deeply personal. Of course, there is a personal dimension to one's relationship with God. But Jesus' baptism reminds us that it is fundamentally a journey taken in solidarity with others, with all those who are hurting and grieving and reaching for something better. My faith isn't just about me and God. It's about all those others as well. We learn this solidarity throughout our whole lives. Oscar Romero, the Salvadoran archbishop, put it this way shortly before he was killed as a martyr, in the midst of the struggle for justice in his country. "I have been learning a beautiful and harsh truth," he wrote, "that the Christian faith does not separate us from the world, but immerses us in it. That the church, therefore, is not a fortress set apart from the city, but a follower of Jesus who loved, worked, struggled, and died in the midst of the city." Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. With the story of Jesus' baptism in view, that simple prayer becomes rich and layered and more than a little bit unsettling. Jesus' path was not always straightforward. It went through some pretty desolate terrain at times. It made its way steadily, right from the start, toward a cross. We should be clear-eyed about all of that. Life in Jesus' company is not some quiet, unthreatening walk around the block. But we should be clear-eyed about this too. It is the greatest of gifts to walk this path. Here we find our story, our purpose, our hope. Here we find a voice naming us beloved, and sisters and brothers to accompany us, and gifts of faith to sustain us, and a world that needs our hands and our hearts. It is a wonderful journey that Kate is beginning today. And we welcome you, Kate, as a fellow traveler. We pledge our support and accompaniment, and we pray for you and with you today. Make us know your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Amen.